Hello and welcome to another edition of the Doctor's Inn featuring Dr. Greg Silverman with Coastal Cardiology and Associates. The address is Elizabeth Street and the phone number is 887-2900, 887-2900. We are going to start with a brand new study that you just put on your webpage.
I did. I put on both of my Facebook pages, both the Greg Silverman Facebook page and the Doctor's Inn Facebook page. It was a study out of California that followed 4,800 men and, 8,300 women who are over age 70 at a retirement village. And they looked at everything. When they would die, they would do autopsies on them to see if any of these people had Alzheimer's-like dementia. They would follow them with continuous surveys over their life of what they were doing. And what happened, the follow-up of what happened, basically, is who lived the longest and what got you to the longest. What percentage of people exercised? What percentage of people and how much did they smoke or drink coffee? I mean, it was a really valid study to say, let's watch elderly people. Now that I'm getting up there, I'm not so sure they're elderly anymore. But let's watch elderly people and follow them for years and what filters out. And it turns out what's interesting, what filters out is exercise, is activities, at least 15 minutes a day. Now, in the original study, they did not do a longevity of, except in some activities, was it over 2 hours? That is, in some minor activities, I guess how they define those is gardening or working around the house or those kind of things versus exercise and the amount of exercise. And what it turns out that is if you do over 2 hours of activities a day, it's beneficial to you. You have a 15 to 30% less mortality and morbidity over time. It's really very interesting. And it doesn't take me, it's not hugely active. You don't have to be bulked up. You have to stay active. That's right. The key.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about this for years, and now people are starting to catch on after studies like this. There was another study out of the Netherlands, another longitudinal study, although they didn't follow as many people, that noticed the same types of things.
Well, gardening is extremely restful, and you're stretching.
Right, and it's active, and it turns out that gardening for women is actually as good as any of the pills for osteoporosis, so you don't break down the bones. You have to do some lifting. You have to stay active,
right.
And gardening is one of those. Matter of fact, I just got done in going up to Turner's today and trying to figure out what kind of bugs are eating my plants today.
Did you figure it out?
They said they were snails. We'll see.
Yeah.
I bought some snail
stuff.
You
get some seven dust.
You get some seven dust. This was some slug bait or something. And so we'll see. I also, on one of my plants, I bought a guava plant from a lady down in the valley. And there was some sort of spider on that was rolling up the leaves. And I sprayed that. I saw it today. So I just went ahead and sprayed it with the cenosid, the it's some sort of bacterial
roll up
thing.
The leaves.
Yeah, they roll up the leaves. Yeah, do cook, that.
Yeah.
Lay some eggs. So I think I got it, too. I flicked it off, and I hope I killed it.
Greg Silverman, the doctor, is in, and we're planting, too.
Yeah.
It's always a good idea. 8,300 women, 4,800 men involved in a longevity study. It was done in California, and they're over 70, and they followed for 28 years. Was that... So some of them were in their 90s?
Right. They follow them until they die, basically. And the average age or the median death age that they followed was about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the median age is, if you get to 70, half of them will be dead by the time they're about 85. So that's about right. That's about what we're seeing. But then they followed those people and said, okay, who lives to be 90? What percentage of those live to be 90? And you have a significantly higher percentage the more active you are. There's no question about it. And that really did filter out. That was the key in that study. They also looked at smoking and said, okay, those people who don't smoke live longer. There's no question about it. I think there's a lot of takeaway messages from this. I think there's a lot of, in this whole thing that we've done over the COVID, the last 2 months where everybody's been inside and had to talk to their family and do what they were doing, the key was also to stay active in this. And I think that it doesn't require a huge amount of activity. That's the other takeaway from this was you don't have to... You know, you don't have to downhill ski every day. You have to get out there and walk. You have to stay get your heart rate up just a little bit. And those studies are forthcoming, and there are several out already that show that. I think that that's what I have been sort of talking about in my own clinic. It turns out also that recently the powers that be, the American College of Cardiology, the American Heart Association, have suggested when you start people on blood pressure medicines that you also talk to them about activities, about changing lifestyles, about doing what it is that they can do on their own that don't require me to give them a pill every 6 months.
When you went to check on some plants today, did you notice the traffic? I mean, it's a beautiful day.
Yes.
And because I got up early, yeah, and I went to Turner's, and I went to Lowe's, and I went to Gill's. But there weren't a lot of people because I got there right at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. No, when I was there, I got there around 10. When I was there, Turner's was pretty crowded. They were selling a bunch of plants there, which is good.
Yeah.
I had and one thing that is good about that place is you take them, I took them a couple pieces of plants and said, I don't know what the plant is. Is this something that, you know, is this? And it was, it looks like instead of a vegetable, I planted them all from seed. So instead of being a vegetable, it's going to be a flower. So I'm just waiting on the flowers to come out as well.
The longevity study and the demographics in your office, what is that like? At Coastal Cardiology.
Right.
If I were to ask you, give me a median
age. About 50, 55. That's about the median. About half are younger than that, half are older than that. Matter of fact, I just saw a couple of pretty young guys this week, but most of them come in with palpitations or something else that they had from something else. One guy was had some ongoing chest pain, and right, another one had palpitations. The guys that I see that are above age 50, 55, and we are starting to see the younger ones now, which I think is very interesting, and I think it plays to the role of education, are that once people start turning 50, they say, you know what, maybe I ought to be checked. Maybe it's time for me to do this. I'm not feeling particularly problematic at this time, but it may be time for me to be more aggressive with either my diet. Do I need to worry about my cholesterol? Here's my family history, those kind of things. And people are starting to come in with that. And I think that's a really good trend. Because there are some things that we can do that reduce the risk. I can't make your risk of dying from a heart attack or a stroke zero, but I can reduce the risks significantly. And it doesn't really take a lot.
I was taking some plants to the backyard today, and my neighbor yelled at me, and he said, man, I got some good news. And I said, what is that, Fred? I don't have to have my heart, what's that thing they stick in you?
Yeah, catheterization. You don't need a catheterization, or you don't need a pacemaker?
Pacemaker.
Doesn't need a pacemaker.
He doesn't need his pacemaker anymore.
Yeah, interesting.
And he's had it for about 10 years.
Interesting. I mean, and there are some of those that we see. Like, I've had some patients who have had cardiomyopathies, which are weak hearts, and we will put in a device that helps make your heart pump more effectively. It's a type of pacemaker, and over time their hearts actually get better. I mean, it's remarkable how you see that. And so it's, you don't pull the device out, but they may not require that anymore. And so once the battery sort of fades, you just kind of leave it in, or you can take the old battery out, leave the wires in, and kind of watch them for a while and see how well they do. They may not need those.
I'm standing there in the yard, and we're telling war stories about open heart surgery. But he didn't think that I had had open. He didn't know that I'd had open heart.
Yeah,
he thought that went in through a side because that's what they had talked to him about.
Right,
but I said, no, they...
Yeah, they... Well, in addition to your aortic valve, you also needed bypass surgery. So that required a sternotomy. If all you need is just a valve, a aortic valve, then you can do that through sort of take one of the ribs out and you get access a little bit differently. They call it minimally invasive, although it depends on who defines that. If it's you, it's pretty invasive.
I can say it's minimally invasive now, but I wouldn't have said that the first morning I tried to sit up. Dr. Greg Silverman and Coastal Cardiology and Associates, the doctor is in. The office is on Elizabeth Street, and the phone number is 887-2900. Any questions you have, you can get answers here. This study that they did in California, 8,300 women, 4,800 men, was a longevity study, and the more you get up and move around, the better off you're going to find it. I was talking to another friend of mine who's about my age, 75, and I said, you know, my brain is where it always was, I think.
It is.
And yeah. Except my legs and my reactions aren't anywhere close to where they used to be.
Right. I'm seeing that as well. I mean, there is an aging process. There's no question about that. There is some limitations to what you can do. I can no longer, nor do I want to anymore, especially after having surgery. I can no longer do the types of exercises I was doing. But again, the types of exercise I was doing got me to shoulder surgery. I mean, mm-hmm. that was the problem, is it over time, some of the things that we do, sort of the boxing and what's the other one, the high level exercise. Oh, you can do that as a kid, but over time you just can't quite do it. The injuries start catching up with you. Yeah. And I have always been a little stiff when I get up out of bed, and I've been doing this for 30 years. But as you go on, the point is the functionality of that. The continuation of as much as you can do for as long a period of time as you can do it. I'm actually looking forward to, although in this COVID question, I'm looking forward to the reopening of the gyms again, because mm-hmm. I was doing that about 5 days a week. We were going to one of the local gyms here in town, and just getting on the treadmill, just getting on the elliptical, which I like because it is a non-traumatic type of exercise, but they also have one that sort of, rather than goes forward, it goes side to side. And so it works at a little bit different parts of your lower body, so you can stay mobile like that. So it's a full range of motion.
Albert Kessler at Hess Fitness,
he's got one, right.
The it's sort of like an elliptical, but it moves from side to side.
Right.
And it helps you with your, it helps stabilize you.
It does.
You don't fall forward or backward. You fall
side to side. Right. And this is a complete different motion. It's a different range of motion. And so you have to continue to do all of those. But I think as you age, I think you have to do it in a smarter fashion.
Yes.
I think you have to do that. I mean, I was running there for years. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I ran Beach to Bay a couple of years ago, and I had some problems in my hip flexor, and that was out of the blue. And so I started looking for other things to do that I could continue to do that don't traumatize that let it go, and we continue to do that.
Well, there's nothing that makes you feel better than a brisk 20 to 45-minute walk. It's amazing in the first 15 minutes, and I'll think, oh boy, I just want to turn around and go home. And then it gets easier, and I think, oh, that's, boy, this feels pretty good. And when I get back to the house, I'll get something to drink, and I'll go to sit down, and I think, you know what, I want to do something in the backyard.
You accomplished something, right. Yeah, you did something. It's time to get up and get going. I also, and my wife has said this, is I also like talking to people. So every so often, rather than just sit there and walk, I'll walk and talk to somebody and do that. But at least you get it all in. You get out there. And I know you're like that too.
Yeah.
You like sitting and talking to other people. There's never been somebody that you can't talk to, which I think is interesting. And some people are not like that. It just, everybody's got a little bit different exercise protocols. But I, you know, as long as I'm walking, I might as well talk to somebody.
Well, somebody asked me the other day, does your wife make you go to the grocery store with her? I said, no, she'd rather. I stay at home. And he said, why? I said, because she says I'm too slow and I have a tendency to talk to everybody while I'm in there.
Right.
I'll strike up a conversation with just about anybody.
I do the same thing.
Because I'm nosy.
I do the same thing. What you got in your cart?
Chicken lips.
Yeah, what is that? What are you cooking tonight? Yeah, I do the same thing.
Coastal Cardiology, The Doctor Is In, featuring Dr. Greg Silverman. The atrial fibrillation that we went over last week.
Right.
I was paying attention to my heart murmur. It's not as pronounced as it used to be.
I just wanted to say, you brought up something about the Facebook and people asking questions. If you want to ask a question after this podcast, please do. And I will try to answer them, or we will get it on the next podcast. We will start doing that. Eventually, we'd like to do this where we get really good feedback. It depends on what kind of feedback I get, but I have done this in the past, and we were doing shows on what we were getting back, which I thought was really interesting. A long time ago, you and I did a radio show where we brought other physicians
other doctors,
those were often done based on sort of the feedback that we were getting, the questions that I was hearing coming over the line. We were doing those and really answering the questions and going a little bit more involved. Certainly over time, hopefully we can get to that as well.
Well, that's why I picked Jerry Unziger to do my cataract surgery.
There's a guy who likes to talk as well. That guy.
He's a great guy.
Isn't he good? Isn't he a great guy?
I mean, just
he's who I go to as well.
And I just having him on my side, you know, he said, now this may hurt a little bit. I said, you know, I'm good to go. If you're doing it, I'm all right with it. The suggestions of getting up and moving around. One of my favorite aunts, she died last year, and I kept trying to get her to walk more because it became more and more of a process to get her out of the house, get her on her walker, and get her going someplace. And it was just, she was tired.
Right.
And she just didn't feel like doing it. And there was just nothing no way I could move her to do it more. And
I also think you have to have a little bit of an imagination when you get people to move or to exercise, that those people who have bad knees or for whatever reason can't walk or bad hips, there is water aerobics at several of the gyms here in town. And those are very good options to that. Or swimming is a wonderful exercise. Again, low impact, lots of muscles being used, those kind of things. Rowing machines are very good if you can't walk on a treadmill for whatever reason. There are other forms of activities that you can do that get your heart rate up a little bit. If you can't use your legs, use your arms. If you can't use your arms, figure something out. There's you just have to be a little bit imaginative in the ways that you do it. And there's no magic to just walking, I think. I think although there is some strength involved, but if you can't do that, you got bad knees, let's figure something out. What about a bicycle? And I see a lot of guys now out there doing bicycles. A lot of guys my age are starting to do that because they can't run anymore because of the trauma associated with it. So there are really other ways to do this. And like I said, for me, because I don't want the trauma, I like the ellipticals because they really do a range of motion my activity is I do it so that I can go skiing every year. And we go skiing every year. And the ellipticals are probably the best exercise for that type of activity when you do that.
I have a rowing machine.
Yeah, terrific.
An elliptical. And I have one of those small gyms that has different platforms for lifting weights. I just really started getting serious with that again this year, but I have managed my weight very well.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to really, if I cheat and eat like two pieces of pie, one before I eat and one after. I I'm staying at about the same weight, which is right at 170 pounds.
Which is what people really want to do. You know, as we age, we generally get bigger because you stop doing what it is you do. You continue to eat the way you did, but the activities are less. Well, that's one way to do this. Everybody's got to have a reason to do whatever it is they do. I always say get a mantra. And my mantra for exercising is that nobody believes a fat cardiologist. So I'm out there all the time saying, you know, let's do this. But you got to find your own reason to do it. If it is to sort of keep your sanity, that's a good reason to do it. The other questions of can you continue to do the other activities? I like walking when I fish.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't do that without you can't do that without some pre-op evaluation and some pre-op exercise. You can't continue to do that. I was out there yesterday and walked a long way. And
fishing is okay. Tough.
It is.
You're going to be against the wind one time.
Right. I did that one time in a kayak. I thought I was never coming back.
I will only do that if I'm against the wind going out.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I need all the help I can get coming back. The advisability of the protein drinks,
yeah,
like that whey protein.
Yeah.
You can get it in vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, whatever you need. And is that?
I think there is some science to it. I think that there is. As a matter of fact, I do it after I work out. Before I work out, generally I don't eat much. Mm-hmm. I'll have a little bit of water and then work out, and you stay hydrated during that. And then afterwards, I'll take a little bit of protein, because there is some science that the rebuilding of your muscles requires protein.
Yeah.
And you have to have it within about the first 30 minutes.
Oh, you do?
So I will do that as soon as I'm done working out. That's my shake afterwards. And then I generally, if I work out in the mornings, I generally won't have breakfast. It'll be just the protein shake, and then you'll have a lunch. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday, as a matter of fact. I had my son graduated from grad school, and
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I got some barbecue from Kansas City flown in.
You did?
I did. And but by the time we ate it, and I ate a lot,
that's good.
I don't want it to be heresy, but there's something to be said about mm-hmm. Kansas City barbecue. I didn't sleep well last night because it was too much. It was too much food for that. So we are going to start cutting back again, which we were doing before this COVID thing and the kids were in, and you have to feed the kids dinner and this and that, all that other stuff. But I think we're going to start backing off and saying, look, our big meal is going to be lunch or nothing after 4 or 5 o'clock, because
right.
It really, you can't quite get to sleep. You can't digest that. And there's something to be said. We've talked about this on the show before about the intermittent fasting. I think there's some real science behind that as well, about sort of taking an 8-hour window out of your day, and that's the only time you're going to eat. And then after that, nothing.
Well, I'm doing smaller meals, but more of them.
You can do that as well. But again, nothing after, you know, 6 or 7 at night until the next day. That would give you 16 hours to not fast.
Yeah.
And there is something, our bodies were meant to do that, basically. And maybe not even eat that much. Our bodies were not meant to eat every day.
Every once in a while, you run into people that say they never eat fruit. And I don't know if it's the part of the country that you come from. I mean, I'm small rural town in Northeast Texas, but there were plenty of gardens. My mother took me to the doctor one time because I had this rash in the corner of my mouth, and it went down and on my neck. And the doctor said, tell me what you've been eating.
Yeah, what are you eating?
And I have a tendency to go out and pick tomatoes that weren't red, but they were that orange
right.
and still getting had there. A yellow stripe,
right. getting there.
And eat them like an apple, and that tomato juice would run down my chin, and it
kind of burned
it
you.
Broke me out.
It burned you. Interesting. I was one time in South Dakota. We were eating at a steakhouse called the Yellow Rose in South Platte, South Dakota. And the front part of the place is a steakhouse, and the back part is a horse barn, and the whole place smelled like horses. Their salad in South Dakota, they don't have salads. And I guess they don't have salads like we think of them. In South Dakota, they had salads. They had potato salad. They had macaroni salad. That was a salad bar in South Dakota. So we're blessed here down where we get great fruit down here, and we get whatever comes up from Mexico, and, and we should take advantage of it.
Oh, I do. I blueberries, it's just incredible that I can have them all year long.
Right.
Strawberries. I can tell the difference between the strawberries that have ripened on the way to the store and the strawberries that come in from Poteet.
Right.
Big difference.
Right.
Hard cantaloupe.
You get all of that. You get avocados all the time.
Yeah.
You get, and a lot of times here, people have orange trees in their backyard. I mean, every time I drive, they got citrus trees in their backyard, which I think is wonderful. All you got to do is go out there and pick them, and you're good to go. There's something to be said about that. And you can't do that in a lot of places in the United States. I wish, and we're getting better. I think that there's those little farmers markets where people actually grow their own food and then bring it into you. And I think there's something to be said about those as well. Well, it's just kind of supporting the local economy / farmer.
Well, I've always had a tendency to buy fruit from a pickup parked on the side of the road.
Right.
Or one of those things, because the watermelons are better. The cantaloupes are better.
Right.
The tomatoes, you know the difference in the taste.
You can actually taste them.
Right? Yeah.
You can actually taste them.
It's an incredible thing. South Texas is just, when I moved to Oklahoma City, I walked into the grocery store for the first time, and the produce department was about the size of a closet.
And apples. That's what you get. you get apples.
That was about it.
You get macaroni for your salad.
Oh, my goodness.
In the produce department.
Coastal Cardiology, the doctor is in, featuring Dr. Greg Silverman. His office is on Elizabeth Street. And the phone number is 887-2900. That's 887-2900. If you'd like to find out more about the longevity study, you can
visit the Facebook page, the Greg Silverman Facebook page, or the Doctor Is In podcast Facebook page, and both of those studies are up there, they're on both of the Facebook pages.
All right, the address one more time.
My Facebook pages are Greg Silverman, and there's another Facebook page called the Doctor Is In podcast. And it's there as well. So I put them on both pages.
All right. We're going to go over some of you were talking about the protein that you had, the barbecue, if you ate a lot of the meat. But the protein is a fuel.
It is. It is. But that's assuming, but that's assuming you worked out afterwards. I think I ate so much last night, I wasn't going anywhere last night.
If I do that in the morning in place of a breakfast, I'll have and I mix it with milk or that Silk stuff, but I also put a tablespoon of instant coffee in it.
Huh. Where'd you learn that one? Well, that's a mix.
I just decided to do it one day.
Why dilute it?
The chocolate whey protein, tablespoon, not a teaspoon, a tablespoon of instant coffee, and shake well.
You get it all. You get it all in one. You don't have to drink a cup of coffee too. You've already done it.
And early in the morning, at 4 a.m., 4:30, that protein is like somebody going up to your brain and going, okay, it's time to
turn on.
Yeah,
time to turn on.
Get the wheels running.
Yeah, get a little bit of sugar going. That's the right thing. We were also doing for a while just protein shakes in the morning, where my wife would add a teaspoon of almond butter and some fruit as well, the blueberries as well. And that was what, that was breakfast. And I, it was remarkable. You're not hungry. The protein does it limits your appetite for a while. That's the whole point of that.
That's a great thing.
It is.
All right. Again, if you have questions, you can go to the website.
Go to the Facebook pages and ask me questions on that, and we will talk about it. Maybe not the next time, but we will get to it on this podcast.
Dr. Greg Silverman, the doctor is in.